I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, here we are. It is semi-final time, baby. Also, the checkbook is open and Danny wants to spread his ings. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday the 6th of July. I'm Jules Breach.
I'm Andy Russell.
And featuring Jim Campbell.
Didn't take a big enough breath. Sorry. I needed to like breathe a bit more during that intro and then I would have got you in time, Jim. Soz.
I think breathy is good because featuring Jim Campbell, it does make it sound as if we're an R&B duo.
Oh, yeah.
And he's come to deliver a rap on the back end of it.
Which I will not be doing.
Over the bridge, please.
Can you believe it? We're here. 3 more games to go for the Euros and England are still bloody standing. Come on.
It's charted, but not very oftenly charted territory, isn't it? It's weird. It's nice.
It's
I love
so
it.
It's so exciting.
What's weird is when I had to do a sort of video preview of semi-finals yesterday, with Italy or Spain, it's really, really easy because, you know, you just go and get some charcuterie somewhere if it's Spain. you go and like munch through a pizza if it's Italy. And I just got this sort of producer text going, yeah, I don't fancy your chances of anything with Denmark. Well, he was laughing on the other side of his face when I was eating an absolutely enormous Danish in Canary Wharf yesterday.
I love a good day. We had some Danish in here, didn't we? Mm. As in pastries.
I mean, this was like a test. This was from a proper Danish bakery.
Was it?
And it was a test of endurance.
Wow.
It really was. Oh, it was excellent, but there was
jaw ache by the end?
There was a lot of it. Something like that, yeah.
What did you do for England?
What did I do for England?
As in, did you obviously,
I'm having bacon and eggs every day this week.
Should it not be a...
But that's normal. That's normal.
Should it not be a cone full of chips with a raw fish?
I'm sorry, but Patrice Evra, what is he doing?
I mean, that's a dangerous question to ask yourself, isn't it?
I mean, that is...
It's frightening.
We talked about this earlier, and I'm glad you agreed that it's given me the fear. The fact that the slippery fish falls out is probably still...
Yeah, no, I can't actually cope with that.
We should give some context for anyone that hasn't seen Patrice Evra's latest video.
Google it right now whilst you're listening to this.
Yes, it's him in the back of his car wearing an England shirt and a sort of like John Lennon glasses and a sort of a Lennon-y, Oasis-y wig.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah, because why? It's English, I guess. And he's holding some chips, fish and chips, but the fish is a raw fish. And he's just shouting like he does, being his mad Patrice Evra self. And then he sort of bounces up and down. Does that.
Yes.
Jumps, gets out his car roof, out of the roof, and he's only got one shoe on.
That's right. I think that's quite an important thing to identify.
Okay, first of all, I was very, very put off by the fact that the fish falls out at one point. Because this is a natural raw fish.
And he kisses it, doesn't he, as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure what breed of fish it is. I think it might be a sea bream.
Something like that.
Maybe a sea bass.
That type of...
But not the sort of fish you have in a fish and chip shop.
No, absolutely not.
I think he went to Tesco, bought himself one of those vacuum-packed fishes, un-vacuum-packed it, stuck it in the cone of chips.
Kissed it.
And you know that it's got all of like the wet slime on a raw fish when you take it out of the pack.
Yeah.
How are you making this story more disgusting than it actually is?
By analysing it.
See, I think what's happened is he's gone to one of those posh fish and chip shops where you can, instead of buying battered fish, you can buy raw fish
that
they have directly from the supplier. So I reckon his partner has said to him, look, let's not just blow the budget. Let's actually give it some take-home value. If you can go and get a proper raw fish that we can gut and cook for tea later...
That's been on the car floor and not, kissed by you.
I don't think that was part of a plan. Well, he's been kissing raw chickens and all sorts, hasn't he?
Maybe he kisses everything
What's
he
wrong
eats.
With him?
You get the impression that like he was maybe in the car because it's just exhausting being his wife. And she's like, Patrice, can you just go and be in the car for a bit. Just get out of my sight. I can't handle this all the time.
There are so many disturbing
I love
things.
This wife. I know, but please.
Just get out. Just go and kiss something else raw. I mean, it's when he, like you said, there are so many disturbing elements to this video. When he hops up, I don't know why I was surprised that there was only one shoe and no sock on one foot.
I think I
why?
Missed it the first time, the one shoe.
Why is he only
wearing... No shoes and socks. I think it fits in quite nicely because it's like Paul McCartney on the cover of Abbey Road, isn't it?
But just one.
Is it a reference to that? There's so much going on in it. It'll be studied by art historians, I would imagine.
Well, one of the things he did say in it is that the last time England won anything, even the dinosaurs were still alive.
I don't remember any dinosaurs at Le Tournoi, Patrice. And that was on your patch, mate.
But he's actually for England winning it. That's one thing we have to say, is that he's actually pro-England in this video. As weird and messed up as it was, he wants us to win, I think. I think that's what he was saying.
And we think that's a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are going to win it, aren't we?
I think so. Now we've got the elemental force that is Patrice Evra behind us.
Oh, my God. Well, look, the game is tomorrow against Denmark. And the guys are going to be previewing that a bit more tomorrow. We're going to preview the other semi-final, which is coming up later tonight, 8 o'clock kickoff, Italy-Spain, in a bit. But first, let's get to some other stories that have been bubbling away over the last 24 hours. We forget that it's obviously only, a month now until the new Premier League season starts?
Let's not go too soon.
It's about four and a half weeks away until, about that, until the Premier League season begins. So there are transfers going on.
Is that true?
Or attempted transfers.
It is true, isn't it?
14th of August, isn't it? And what are we? The 6th of July. So yeah, it's not far off now, is it?
It's just relentless, isn't it? Just relentless.
Doesn't stop.
Wow.
But it means that deals need to be done. And Southampton were trying to nail down their striker, Danny Ings, to a contract because his contract expires very soon. And he basically said, nah.
No.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I want it. Where do you think he's hoping to go? Because it almost feels like if the Man City deal was going to be done, it would have been done by now, right?
Yeah, and also, I mean, they're obviously looking at Kane and potentially even Haaland, short to long term on that. So you would think that position probably isn't up for grabs. I wonder if he's thinking of Spurs. If Kane moves on, would he perhaps go there? It's a funny one, isn't it? Because, I mean... Obviously, it was really unfortunate what happened at Liverpool. And it, clearly he's looking at a club in a European spot. People have touted West Ham, which I think isn't a bad shout, but I don't know if like long term maybe he would consider them that much of a step.
That's his money, not happiness to me.
Yeah.
But then
which is fine.
If it was money though, reportedly the contract he was offered by Southampton would have made him the highest paid player in Southampton's history.
Yeah, I mean, I do wonder if he's got a different plan. I mean, especially after, as you said, what happened at Liverpool or what didn't happen at Liverpool. I think if you're looking at, say, a Manchester City or something like that, I mean, he's never going to be their number one striker.
No.
But if you think, go there, play, you know, 20, 25 games a season, get paid a fortune, win some stuff. Mm. To me, that sounds quite appealing. I think quite often as football fans, you go, oh, but you want to play every week. Do you? I mean, really, do you? Yeah. I would rather win some stuff and make significant contributions along the way. And also, I think you look at his injury history, you look that, you know, he's got miles on the clock for someone of his age. I think to be a contributor for a team that's going to win rather than be flogged for a team that's in mid-table, I think that's quite appealing.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because it's now or never, really, isn't it? And Ings has had a chance to you know, move into kind of upper echelons of the league with Liverpool before. And just through bad luck, it didn't work.
I'm saying not Spurs before we go any further, Jim, just to comfort you.
Well, could he, you know, be Teddy Sheringham at Man United, effectively? Is that what you're suggesting then?
Yeah, I could see that. Or Solskjaer, you know.
Yeah, of course. Be interesting. I'd like to see him go and thrive somewhere. I'd love him at Arsenal, obviously, but you know, we're far too mid-table for that.
Do you think that?
Yeah, you'd make him play.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he doesn't want that.
Do you think that maybe after the way the season went at Southampton last year, he doesn't see it as a place where he can achieve European football anymore? Do you think that's what he's thinking?
Yeah,
because at one stage, it did look like Southampton were heading in that direction, didn't it?
I agree. That's part of it. I would have thought, because if you're talking about matching ambitions, I think you're maybe going into this season, if you're a Southampton player, thinking, is Hasenhüttl going to be there for the duration of the season?
Certainly not for the duration of a four-year contract.
Yeah, in my opinion, he's a really great coach, but you can't overlook the second half of last season. It was terrible. Mm. If he starts this season, say the first 10 games of this season are like the last 15 of last season, he's not going to be there much longer.
And it's not the first time that's happened, is it? So you've got to,
exactly.
You've got to worry about that.
I think the other thing is, maybe when you're being offered that contract, especially on all that money that you're talking about, Jules, there's probably a bit of your brain that's going, don't be Wilfred Zaha. Mm. Don't get tied to a situation where you're more important, you're more valuable to your current club than you are to anyone else.
And so, then every transfer window this happens.
You're shutting down the possibility of ever going anywhere, really.
Yeah. Speaking of top-class players being linked with Arsenal, Ben White, Yves Bissouma, still going on,
yeah,
Jim?
Yeah, still going on, but there's now talk of Chelsea being interested in Ben White. This is what seems to happen in the rumour mill at the moment. It's like Arsenal get linked with a player, and that player gets in the news, and a club with European football goes, oh, they are quite good, actually. And they get linked instead, and I go, oh, well, we're never getting them then. We're never getting them. So
Arsenal just balls it up again.
It's all about Matty Ryan, though, surely.
I know.
What a Real Sociedad. I mean, that's exciting,
it's
isn't
a sweet
it?
Sweet gig, isn't it?
Do you reckon?
This is a sweet gig. Yeah. It's brilliant. Would you have predicted that a year or so ago?
No, I wouldn't know.
Off to Sociedad via Arsenal.
Liked him to stay, to be honest, at the time.
Who expects to leave Brighton and move on to better seafood?
Are you talking about Patrice Evra's car? Someone who's definitely maybe joining Manchester United as well is Eduardo Camavinga. Tell us a bit about him, Andy, and why
he'd with Arsenal
go
earlier.
There.
Case in point.
And why he'd want to go to United.
We'll give Jim a minute. the fees mentioned, I mean, it's not happening. But 30 million, it's really not, you know. Bear in mind, the previous president of Rennes got fired for trying to negotiate a future deal with Real Madrid that was somewhere in the 100 million bracket. Now, they've got an issue because he's running out of contract and he said he won't sign a new one, although he's only 18. But I think he's a player who's already excellent. And since he was 14, 15, it's been clear that, you know, you can't really often say with a 14 or 15-year-old, it's clear that they're going to be a star. Mm. With him, it was clear. It really was, unless something happened to him injury-wise. And he's someone who is tough enough to play in a defensive midfield position. He's good enough on the ball to suggest he can grow into that full box-to-box thing. He's started to score more goals and create more chances. You buy a player like this, you're getting 10 good years out of him. I think if you're United kind of level. So if United could swoop in, make the most of the fact that Real Madrid are totally skint, and I'm sure we'll come to the position that them and Barcelona are in at the moment, which is quite hilarious in a little bit. But if United can take advantage of this, it's a great deal.
Speaking of Real Madrid, Tottenham have actually asked them to play a friendly this summer because of a clause in Gareth Bale's contract that they agreed 8 years ago, stipulating they must play a game in London. That comes from Spanish paper Marca.
Why not? If you've got the agreement, make him do it. Kick him while they're down, you know?
Oh my God. That's amazing, isn't it? What a deal to make. 8 years ago they made that. And that's
it's so
still
funny
going.
That they've they've just hoped that it's never going to come up again, haven't they? Like, we just forget about that.
Let's just imagine like Daniel Levy, like Homer Simpson, getting out his reading glasses and going, the small print here actually says. Yes.
Just waiting for his most opportune moment.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so Spurs, isn't it?
It's very, very Spurs. And it's also very, very Madrid. It's all very funny.
You were just talking about Barcelona there, Andy. Well, Pjanic is being heavily linked with Spurs. Barcelona reportedly offered to release him from his contract. They signed him last summer for $55 million, but he only started in 6 league games in the season gone.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? To sign someone for that amount of money and then go a year later, yeah, you actually go for nothing.
That is mad.
I mean, that is the position that they're in terms of wages. I mean, a lot of people are asking what the hold-up with Messi is. Well, it's clear what the hold-up with Messi is. They can't register all of their current signings that they've made. And of course, they've made a lot of free signings, although free and free, you know, it's two different things, isn't it, in football. Even though they've signed frees on relatively decent wages because Memphis and Aguero have taken lesser deals than they might have got elsewhere, for example. And they can't register these players. They clearly can't sign Messi at the moment. So basically, they're having this massive wage clear out. I mean, they're looking at selling Felipe Coutinho.
This is the worst deal of the century, surely.
But they're looking at selling Coutinho at a loss of over 100 million. But they have to.
That's so bad.
Especially, sorry to cut in, Andy, but as we were talking about this earlier, and as you rightly pointed out, Coutinho had a hand in knocking them out of the Champions League. Like, that's astonishing.
It's amazing.
I mean, you would turn up at training with the medal around your neck, wouldn't you?
I remember being live on air when that deal was done from Liverpool, and I remember announcing it and thinking, this is an insane amount of money. And obviously it was always going to happen because that story had been going on for so long. But now to actually see that Barcelona are willing to accept 20 million for him, according to the newspapers out in Spain, that is an incredible loss.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. They're having to write transfer fees off left, right and centre. And part of that is because when Laporta came back, the new old president, he basically said, look, you know, if anyone wants to go, that would be like really nice. Because, you know, and of course the first players to react to that were Piqué and Jordi Alba. They're like, that's fine, but you have to give us freeze. And once they've said that and there's not been complete pushback on it, the genie's out the bottle. And they also wish, for example, they could sell on Ousmane Dembélé for a modest fee this summer. One of the worst things to happen to Barcelona this summer is the fact that he got injured at the Euros because they can't flog him until Christmas at the earliest. And so they're in this situation. Of course, they've loaned Trincao to Wolves, who I think will do very well there. And maybe that's a deal that could actually work out quite well for Barcelona, because if he comes to the Premier League, does well, you can actually sell him for real money. Mm. So, you know, that might be one of the only ones they get a decent fee for.
Great name as well. Trincao, Big Trink.
Big Trink.
Yeah, well, that's the Al means big, doesn't it? Inyo means small, and Al means big.
You see, that's why I want Duncan Ferguson to end up at, say, Braga for some point. Duncow.
Duncow.
Yes.
Well, that would be something. All right. Well, look, it is semi-final time in the Euros. Italy, Spain tonight. We'll preview that after this.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare.
PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Well, I'm talking about the sort of luxuriant quality.
Go on, Brass. Luxuriant.
I would love that coat back. I'm going to the tennis later and it's a bit rainy outside.
Oh, you're going to Wimbledon.
So I would love a bit of
I'm so jealous.
Luxuriant quality to keep the rain off me.
Getting in the queue? What's the deal?
Nah, centre court, baby.
Oh, lucky bastard.
Going to try and catch a ball like Clive Tilsley's wife? See that?
I didn't see that.
She caught a ball on live TV.
It was brilliant.
Yeah, like I think she got a big round of applause.
Was Clive with her?
No.
How did everyone know it's Clive Tilsley's wife?
Because it was on TV and Clive tweeted about it. It's like, this is my wife.
Oh my God, that is amazing. Brilliant. Right, now it's time for this.
Love the game. Now hit subscribe. Please send us a note. We won't reply. Email show@footballramble.com. show@footballramble.com. We don't call it soccer.
Lovely. I've not heard that one before, you know?
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah,
they're all great. Keep them coming. Still, I've noticed there have been no trance thrash metal entries. Do get on that. So Joseph Phelan's been in touch. He said, he's been in touch with what he describes as purist ramble fodder, and I have to agree with him. He says, Nashville have a fan called Soccer Moses, and before matches, he plays guitar in what I imagine is an attempt to embed within the home team some kind of magic riff energy. It's basically Uri Geller with power chords and a long beard. It's much better than Uri Geller. The man's a fraud. Before playing, he ambles through the crowd, carefully parting the sea of supporters while holding a banner which reads, "Let my people go," before taking up what is unquestionably the ugliest guitar ever created. His subsequent playing does nothing to aid the instrument's appeal. Now, we've seen the video of this. It is brilliant.
Yeah, you showed it to me this morning, and if I can go back to Joseph's kind email, it was certainly more than a feeling.
Hey. Very good.
Yeah, it was it's great though, isn't it? It's one of those things where if someone did that here, it would be incredibly lame, but it happening in MLS it's just great, because this is one of the beautiful things about football, isn't it? Different things work in different cultures, and everyone's having such a great time, and it's just all the fun.
You say that, but let's not knock it till we've tried it. Why not try and, like, you know, use items from other cultures? I think it'd be decent.
Done here, it'd be someone doing fucking Wonderwall, wouldn't it?
I suppose a shit busker.
Oh, look, it's a dickhead who's found a guitar at a party. Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of...
Although, do you know what? I might have spoken to you about this a while ago, Jim, But something that's often forgotten from the earlier years of Sky Sports, when it was all, you know, sort of all more nascent and cheap in the Premier League.
Everything used to make that sound, didn't it?
White, everything.
Oh, I love that sound.
Yeah.
Oh, that gave me the feels. That was good. When the Shaman played Ebenezer Good on the pitch at half-time at Highbury, that was incredible. Yeah. And it's like, we're halfway through a football match and there's a man with bleach blonde hair shouting, Ezer Good, in the centre circle.
Do they know what that song's about?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think that we do many sort of things pre-match because I think everyone just take the piss out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Like, although maybe we should lean into that.
There's been booing, hasn't there, at Champions League finals where they've tried to make it more Super Bowl-y. Like the Imagine Dragons got, they're not the Imagine Dragons, they're Imagine Dragons, aren't they? Like they got a lot of boos, didn't they, in Madrid from the Liverpool and Spurs fans in 2019.
Mm. Yeah,
but Dua Lipa the year before that, she was bloody great.
She's great. Will.i.am, remember them lot? They did the Cardiff final.
Oh, is that right?
It's just weird, isn't it? It doesn't kind of.
What are they called again? I've forgotten.
Black Eyed Peas.
You see, Will.i.am also opened the new Lyon Stadium in 2016. Oh, right. He had this weird bromance with Jean-Michel Aulas, the president of Lyon, who's like 70 and looks like the Emperor out of Star Wars. I mean, Lord of the Rings.
Very good.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. I mean, that went straight over my head anyway. I don't know what you meant.
Of course you didn't.
Could have been anything. Although, I was watching Beat the Chasers last night and there was a question and I got it right and it was about Gollum. So I don't know. See, I do know things. I just sometimes...
Just not in the right order.
Oh, dear. Anyway, Andy, what you got for us?
One from Joe Lindsay, a short and sweet stat. 50% of the starting goalkeepers in the Euro 2020 semi-finals made their professional debut for Darlington.
What?
What's not part of the email is it's Kasper Schmeichel and Jordan Pickford.
I mean, that is amazing.
We should have tried to guess. I mean, it would have been easy to guess, wouldn't it?
Yeah. There's
four to pick from.
as well, I should point out that at the last World Cup, my son was a bit younger at the time, obviously, and insistent on calling Jordan Pickford.
Oh, I remember you saying this before.
Which made him feel a bit, you know, MLS. Yeah. I thought.
That's very American, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, keep your emails coming in, guys. show@footballramble.com, or as you know, on Twitter, we are @footballramble. Right, it is semi-final time, 8 o'clock kickoff tonight, Italy against Spain. A nice little warm-up for their Nations League semi-final in October, Jim. I mean, these lot, they face each other all the bloody time.
They do.
It's their fourth consecutive Euros that they faced each other in. And of course, a repeat of the final back in 2012.
Absolutely, which I'm sure Italy will be out to avenge. But I think what maybe gets missed here is this is a huge, huge game for both teams, isn't it? This is what we think England-Germany is, but for both teams.
Yeah.
They see this as their main rival.
Yeah, because they have such a juxtaposed football culture.
Which is sort of a bit... It's turned on its head a little bit at the moment, isn't it? Because Italy are playing such attacking football.
Yeah, it is.
Spain won't like that.
Properly weird. And it was funny, actually. Luis Enrique was being asked a lot about this in the press conference yesterday, and he tried to play it all down, like being, you know, smashed in the face by Mauro Tosotti, I think it was.
And will you be appealing for the red, Luis? No, that's gone. That's gone. That happened in 1994. Stop asking me.
So it is a bit weird. And because we associate Spain, especially in tournaments, with control, the fact that they're just absolutely chaotic. It's amazing.
Oh, I love the chaos.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so much fun, isn't it?
It is.
Like
yeah.
Every time you watch them play, they're so fun, and every single substitute that comes on, like when Chiesa comes on, he started the last game, didn't he? But when he came on the game before, he's just so electric. Everyone that plays in this Italy team is just so.
I meant Spain, actually.
Oh, you meant
with
Spain?
The chaos.
Oh, sorry. But I mean, Italy are chaotic as well.
Italy have wandered from the script. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well,
they're fun to watch.
Italy enforce chaos upon you, though. Do you know what I mean? It's a little bit different.
The weird thing about Spain is they're chaotic and Sergio Ramos isn't involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how weird is that?
Or isn't he?
I think he is.
Yeah, maybe there's something going on here.
Oh, no.
He's pulling the strings behind
them. Do you think that's the worst...
He's a Wizard of Oz.
Do you think that's the worst possible outcome at the remainder of Euro 2020? that Pau Torres scores the winner in the final at the back post and then tears a mask off at Sergio Ramos.
Tears his arms off as well to reveal those tats.
Yeah.
And it's, Sergio Ramos in a skin suit is absolutely the worst possible outcome. Yeah, yes, to answer your question.
That is absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, it is. But I think Spain are they're a real interesting team to watch because they do have this kind of... They're like watching an existential crisis that is overcome every time, but just gradually. Mm. And I think it you know, I said this on the last show, I think because Italy starts so strongly, I think that they've got a chance of scoring early and Spain just falling to bits, like mentally. But at the same time, Italy, they started slowly at Wembley before, but then at the same time again, they've played at Wembley now. So
There's
so many variables going into this. And yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how both teams cope with the situation as well, where they've got about 125 fans allowed in each or some mad thing with the ticket allocation.
And none of them have been able to train. I think that is, as you say, Jim, maybe the edge for Italy, the fact they have played there before, because of course, because they're keeping the integrity of the pitch for these last three games and stuff, neither of the two semi-finalists who haven't played at Wembley at this point get to play on the pitch before the semi-final. And that's maybe a thing, because like Denmark trained at Tottenham, didn't they?
Yeah.
And Luis Enrique was like, well, I understand why that is, but it is a bit of a pain.
Yeah.
All roads are pointing to England winning the thing.
Scary. Scary.
Scary, isn't it? What about Italy, though, Andy? Because I think defensively, that's where Spain will probably struggle to get past them. They've just shown such a... They've been so solid. They've shown their resilience. I think that the fact that their two centre-halves play together for club football makes a massive difference as well. Surely that makes a huge difference in terms of their relationship.
Yeah, I think it helps. And I think the fact that Mancini has been building something with these players over such a long time. I mean, unbeaten since 10th of September 2018. Which
32 games now.
Repeating. Mm. It's unbelievable. And the thing is, it's all very well people like me and like Italian fans and people who watch Italy a lot saying, oh yeah, well, we always knew they had this in them. Doing it at a major tournament is still... different to impose your rules on the tournament rather than, you know, the way that Southgate or other recent winners, I realise he's not a recent winner yet, but he might be. And if you go backwards and you look at Deschamps and Fernando Santos, the idea is win a major tournament by playing within yourself, play quiet, wait and see kind of football, keep it steady. And whereas Italy, it's like, no.
Yeah.
We're playing our way. And apart from the second half against Austria, where they got a bit of a going over, they've been phenomenal in all of these games so far.
And they are used to playing hell for leather as well, because that long unbeaten streak, as impressive as it sounds, actually doesn't tell the whole story. They won every game in qualifying. They've won all of their World Cup qualifiers. And obviously they've won every game at the tournament, which, you know, even teams that win it sometimes draw a group game or like have to go to penalties or something. They've won everything significant that's been put in front of them recently. So this is where they're comfortable.
And that step up, the way they played against Belgium in the first half, just absolutely unreal. I did like Lorenzo Insigne, of course, scored the winner in that game with a very Lorenzo Insigne goal. I mean, I think he's quite close to having the Iron Robin honour of having his special move.
Yeah.
That you know what's coming, but you can't stop it. He said yesterday when he did the press conference, he said, Mancini has asked me, he said, the boss has asked me, like just for a bit of an element of surprise, he's asked me to maybe sometimes in that situation go for the near post. He said, but I can't help myself.
I love that. Why would you when you're so good at it? Mm.
It's a tough skill as well.
Yeah, exactly. A big miss for Italy will be Spinazzola. Obviously, he got injured in the last game. He's expected to be replaced by Emerson. What kind of a difference will that make? I guess it'll be less attacking, you'd assume.
I don't know, because Mancini's been very good at getting this system in place where everyone just slots in and they all know what their roles are. And he's going to be fresh as well. I mean, people have made a lot of him not really playing much for Chelsea, but at this stage of the tournament...
There's fresh and there's fresh.
Yeah, fresh and as raw.
Like that fish. Everything points back to the fish.
One of my favourite moments at football from last season, when I was at the Chelsea Atletico second leg, and the bit where Emerson scored the clincher, which was a great finish, by the way, against Atletico in the second leg. It was one of those, oh shit, he's actually scored, the way the other players reacted. It was like John Jensen at Highbury. It was amazing.
There are also, he's pretty much confirmed, Mancini, that Ciro Immobile would be starting. He confirmed that in the press conference yesterday, despite failing to score in the last three games. What do you make of that? Would you stick with him?
Yes, I would, because he does stuff other than score
and
roll about in the penalty area. That was a magnificent recovery.
Well, Bonucci was actually asked about that, and he said the joy and emotion of the goal was so big that it cured him. it's a miracle. It is a miracle.
That's funny.
And he did stress that they also took the piss out of him too.
Yeah, I bet they did. they've got so many options. I think he's an interesting one, because if you look at him, his record at international level doesn't really describe what a good player he is. He's a really good player. And also, I think as well, when you look at how everyone has been under Mancini, how he's brought everyone up a level, that says something as well. It's like when you, I don't know, if you go back 5 or 6 years and you looked at Cristiano Ronaldo's international record, or if you look at his international record now, before he was 30 and after he was 30, it's not amazing before a certain point. Obviously, he was a winger beforehand, but it takes a while before he hits that rhythm. Now, I'm not suggesting that in the next 5 years he's going to go along at like 20 international goals a year, but he is better than that goal record suggests. And also, you only need a couple of moments in a tournament to really make it happen. And we've seen that with Morata, and the fact that he had quite a poor start to the tournament, and then he came in and scored that fantastic goal against Serbia, because there's that complete belief in him from the coach. Like Luis Enrique said, didn't he, in the second game, right, I'm going to pick Morata plus another 10 players. And that must make you feel amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I think, you know, Chiesa and Belotti will almost, one or both might feature. Certainly if it goes through extra time, you would think they'll both get onto the pitch. So I think he's using that squad really well. And you get similar to England, isn't it? You get the impression that they all feel involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you just see the goal celebrations. Actually, one of the things, I don't know if it's been pointed out here yet, really, but with, of course, there's this incredible friendship between Mancini and Vialli that's at the heart of it all, and they've been pals since they were teammates at Sampdoria. A lot has been made, certainly in the Italian papers, of them going back to Wembley together, where they lost the European Cup final together with Sampdoria in 92 to Barcelona, and to that Ronald Koeman free kick. I mean, you know, I think a lot of England involved fans
can relate
to that. But I mean, the sense that they could go back to Wembley and, like, you know, make it all good again. That's part of it for them.
Narrative.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I hate these little narratives underneath.
Come on, Spain.
is that who you'd prefer if England were to get to the final to face?
I don't want to jinx anything, but I don't know the rules of how jinxes work or believe in them. But I think based on what we've seen, yeah, I think Spain are a little bit more vulnerable, because Italy just look unstoppable, don't they? So, I mean,
they
I don't mean to sound dismissive of Spain or disrespectful in any way, but I think just because Italy looks so, so good, you would hope that they, for some reason, have a nightmare tonight or something goes wrong.
Loads of stuff has gone wrong for Spain.
Yes.
And they've found a way. They're like the Michael Myers of this tournament, aren't they? Really?
And also, each time Spain have won their quarterfinal, they've gone on to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would be flabbergasted if that happened again, even though they've got a 1 in 4 chance of doing it.
There's another thing I love about this, the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal are no longer even in the Euros, yet he's probably still sat at home with something to play for, because he's still leading the way for the Golden Boot.
Course,
so he's probably
sat
there thinking, I don't want Harry Kane to score.
Can you imagine how annoyed he'd be not being able to be involved in any way?
I know.
He'd be going out of his mind.
Out of his mind, sat there in his pants.
Sat there in his pants with his weirdly tiny abs.
They are, aren't they?
They are, right?
Yeah. Still phenomenal to look at, though. So you've got Raheem Sterling, Dolberg from Denmark. Who else can catch him? Harry Kane. They're all on 3 goals.
I mean, technically anyone can catch him.
Anyone can
Unlikely
catch him.
Unlikely that, like, Kasper Schmeichel will do it, but you never know.
Well, let's see what happens. So prediction. Go on, Andy. What's going to happen tonight?
Italy by a whisker. Maybe after extra time, I think.
Mm. Jim?
Italy by lots of whiskers.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I'm going to
Italy by a cat's worth.
I also think after extra time as well. I think 2-1 Italy. I think
That sounds good to me.
Right. If you're enjoying our Euros coverage, then you can get even more from Hustler on our Patreon. We've got a live stream this week, plus bonus episodes and ad-free rambles as well. Get over to patreon.com/footballramble. Andy, don't have too many glasses of fizz at Wimbledon and strawberries later, because you're back tomorrow. You're going to be here with Kate and Jim. You're going to be here too.
I am.
So enjoy that, guys. Come on, England, tomorrow, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.